can do anything with anything. He can heal any hurt, any suffering. Every cross, every care, every burden he'll bear for anyone, anywhere. God can do nothing into something. He's the giver of life. He's hope to the hopeless and sight to the blind. He makes impossible possible when there's no other way. He makes the blackest sin white as snow. That's why we can say God can do anything with anything. He can heal any hurt, any suffering. Every cross, every care, every burden he'll bear for anyone, anywhere. God can do
of 10,000, my soon coming King, Jehovah Messiah, the reason why I sing. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, my Savior and Redeemer. He's my closest friend.
God can do anything with anything. He can heal any hurt, any suffering. Every cross, every care, every burden he'll bear for anyone, anywhere. God can do anything. He can heal any hurt, any suffering. Every cross, every care, every burden he'll bear for anyone, anywhere. God can do anything.
Every cross, every care, every burden
for anyone, anywhere. God can do anything with anything.
All right, thank you, ladies. I hope you enjoyed the music service this morning. And God bless you for being here. And I enjoy good music that has a message to it, don't you? Because I do serve a God that can do anything with anything. Some of you may think this morning, well, preacher, I'm not much. Well, we've all not quite much, right? Doesn't matter. God can take your life where you are and mold you and make you into something and a usable vessel for God. And listen, it's all about, as we look at it from God's perspective, not looking at it from our own perspective. Take your Bible this morning, 1 John 2 and 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 2 and 1 John chapter 5. Let me say again, for those of you that are visiting with us, God bless you. And thank you for honoring us by being here this morning in our service. 1 John chapter 2, as we stand together, and as we read the Word of God, we're going to look down at verse 23, and then we're going to go over to chapter 5 and look at verse number 12. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 23. The Scripture reads, "Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. That sounds to me, you either have him or you don't. That's kind of what I read in this. You have the haves and the have-nots. He says, either whoso denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he says, he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Go, if you would, to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John 5, let's get a little more plainer. Or let's get plainer here. That's bad English, isn't it? Sorry about that, all you English teachers. I know some of you just broke out in hives. I just destroyed a cardinal rule. All right. Well, it's going to get better from here, I can already tell. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 12. Notice this. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. This is not going to be difficult this morning, can you tell? What I'm saying is here, God is saying you have the haves and the have-nots. And I just want to say this morning from plain from Scripture, the Scripture says you either have the Son and have life, or you have not the Son and you have not life. It's very simple. Matter of fact, if you look at verse number 12, if I'm not mistaken, all one-syllable words. Very simple, very to the point. And that's what I want to preach to you this morning about the haves and the have-nots. The haves and the have-nots. Father, bless us now, I pray, as we look into the Word of God and study this morning this subject. And Father, I'm so glad this morning that one day the gospel was preached to me in a day that I had not the Lord, but when the gospel was preached, I responded, and now I have the Lord. And Father, I want to thank you for that. Thank you for the preaching of the Word of God that went forth that day. Thank you for conviction. And thank you, Spirit of God, for drawing me to that place of salvation. Now, my desire this morning is to help all of our folks, both believers and non-believers that are here this morning, to understand there are two categories of people, the haves and the have-nots this morning. And would you open our hearts now to the truth in Jesus' name? Amen. You can be seated. When I was in high school, many years ago, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 years ago. But when I was in high school many years ago, I took an economics class that introduced me to a concept and a principle called the 80-20 law. Many of you were introduced to that in your economic class in high school. This law was first brought to light by an Italian economist by the name of Pareto, and I think I may be saying his name wrong, but I think it, just for the sake, I'm going to call him Pareto. Now, his initial study of the economy in Italy was this. When he studied the economy, he found out that 80% of the income was controlled by 20% of the people. And he realized that if that was the case, then only 80% of the population was in control of 20% of the income. Now, his analysis was this. That if you distributed equally among all the populace of Italy, if you distributed the income equally among everyone in Italy, that in a very short time, he estimated within 1 to 2 years, that 80% of the income would be back in control of 20% of the people. You see, his reasoning this morning, his reasoning for this was this. That most of the results, he said, in any situation are determined by a small number of causes. He said by number it means that 80% of your outcomes come from 20% of your inputs. Now chew on that for just a moment. Do you realize that the majority of the decisions that are the majority of happiness, the majority of joy that comes in your life many times is a result of a very few decisions that you make? Think about that for just a moment. You see, it really doesn't matter what numbers that you apply. The important thing to understand is this, that in your life and in my life, there are certain things that you do that account for the majority of your happiness or your unhappiness in life. There are decisions that you either make or you don't make that determines whether you have or you have not. That little word have just simply means to gain. It means to be in possession of or to stand in a certain relationship to. Think about this. We spend about 80% of our time working and only about 20% of our time with our family. Now my question is, to which of these two brings you the most happiness? Well, it should be your family, right? But isn't it amazing that we get most of our joy from a very small time that we spend with our family? You say, well, wait a minute, I spend a lot of time with my family. Well, think about it. You spend 80% of your time working at something, either on your job or sleeping. You ever think about how much we sleep? You say, but yes, I'm with my family, though, in body. Yeah, but not in spirit, you're not. Now, the point is this. The point I'm trying to make in this whole thing this morning is this. Invest your decisions and your choices into the things that produce. Invest your choices and decisions into the things that produce lasting dividends and joy and peace and happiness. This is one of the big differences between the haves and the have-nots. It's where they place their emphasis on their decisions in life. Amen. Now the thing about it is, those of you that are in business understand where I'm coming from. There's a reason that they're the that people have and people have not. And normally, people that have money usually make decisions to have money or have wealth, or the reasons that they have it is because they made some smart decisions in life. And normally those that have not because they don't make smart decisions in life. That's just a basic principle. Now, with that principle in mind, here's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I want to talk to you about the haves and the have-nots. And the first thing I want to say to you this morning is, you either have or have not accepted Jesus as Savior. There is no in-between. The scripture that we read in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So what I'm saying is this morning is, you either have Jesus or you don't. There is no in-between. There is no middle ground here. You say, well, I think I have him. That's like me saying, well, I think I'm married. Now, I am married, been married for 33 years. But if I went to my wife of 33 years and said, honey, are we still married? She said, well, I think we are. You say, that's crazy. Well, you either have Jesus or you don't. You can't think you do. You can't hope you do. You either have him or you don't. You either have or you have not this morning. You see, this life that we're speaking of here this morning, this is a life of, we're talking about, it's eternal life in Christ. It's a new life. It's a new birth. It's a born-again transformation. It's a resurrected spirit. It's a changed heart. Listen, it's a renewed mind. It's what we're talking about this morning. You either have it or you have not. You either have Christ or you have not. You say, oh, preacher, how do we know those that have Jesus and those that don't? Well, hold your place right there, and let's go back and look at what Jesus said as a criteria. Go to Matthew 7. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Hold your place there. Go to Matthew 7 and verse 20. Matthew 7 and verse 20. Look at verse 19. Every tree that bringeth forth not, or every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Look at verse 20. Wherefore, by their fruits, what does it say? You shall know them. Let me ask you this. If I went right up here to Callaway's Nursery, not too far from here, and I went up and I bought a tree, and I was looking for a peach tree, and I went up to Callaway's Nursery and I found the peach tree, and they sold me what I thought was a peach tree. Now, they told me it was a peach tree. The label said it was a peach tree, and I planted it assuming it was a peach tree. Well, over the process of time, springtime comes. Over the course of time, blooms come out. And I think, man, I can't wait to eat some peaches off of this peach tree. So I'm waiting. The blooms come. And the next thing I know, I see something bud out there. I thought, oh, a peach. Well, after the course of time, I find out that, you know what? What's coming out on that tree doesn't look like a peach. It's not shaped like a peach. It's not the color of a peach. It's bright yellow. And I go out there and find out that my peach tree that looked like one, that was labeled as one, that I thought was one, actually turned out to be a lemon tree. I was disappointed because I was looking forward to peaches. You know, Jesus said, by their fruits ye shall know them. You see, I can say, but man, it looked like one, it was labeled one, it acted like one, it bloomed like one, but the fruit determined whether it was one or not. And I'm just saying, folks, you either have Jesus or you have not Jesus this morning. And you know how that most people are going to be able to tell whether you have Him or you don't have Him is by the fruit that you produce. That's a reason that I get real bothered about people that say, well, I don't need church, preacher. I don't need preaching. I don't need to read my Bible. I don't need to pray. I kind of wonder about that, don't you? Because all of that's fruit. All of that shows the world who we are. And I'm saying to you this morning that, listen, by their fruits, the Scripture says, you'll know who has Jesus and who doesn't. Let me say something else along this line. Sheep like to be around other sheep, not wolves. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 15, you know, turn there, that He says, you know, sometimes people come in as wolves in sheep's clothing. But the best I can tell, sheep like to be around sheep. They don't like to be around wolves. And people who would rather, who call themselves a born-again believer, who would rather spend time with the wolves, there's something wrong with that. Because eventually, the best I can tell, wolves love mutton. Wolves love lamb chops. And eventually, a person that says they're a sheep hang out with the wolves, pretty soon they're going to get eaten up. I said sheep like to be around other sheep. And people who say they're a born-again child of God and they don't like to be at church around the other sheep, there's something wrong with that. That almost gives me an impression maybe they're not a sheep. Maybe they're not a sheep. Maybe they're a wolf. Maybe that's the reason they like to be around wolves. But they come to church and put their sheep face on. Put their sheep's clothing on. I'm just saying sheep like to be around other sheep. I want to say also, in order for a sheep to be a real pure sheep, they got to have a sheep mom and a sheep daddy. I told you this one's going to be real hard. Now listen to me. There's a lot of people say, I'm a sheep. But they didn't come the Bible way to make that claim. You see, there's a lot of people, when I knock doors and I meet people, they say, oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, I'm a believer. Well, how do you know that you're a believer? Well, let me tell you, one night, it was late, about midnight, I woke up and at the foot of my bed, there was this vision, there was this frame outline. And that's what they're counting on their salvation. Come on now. And then I talk to them. They say, oh, well, you know what? I was baptized. So I'm a sheep. Oh, I'm a church member. So I'm a sheep. Oh, you don't understand, preacher. I had this incredible experience in my life. And I'm a sheep. Listen to me. I can't find where any of that in Scripture makes a person a sheep. If you're going to be a sheep, you've got to have a sheep mama and a sheep daddy. You've got to come through a pure line. That pure line is through the blood of Christ. You see, you can't call something a sheep if it's the product of a goat father. And can I say to you this morning, you know what works is? It's a goat. You know what baptism to be saved is? It's a goat. I'm just saying, you either have Jesus or you have not. Sheep like to be around sheep. And a sheep, if it's a real sheep, it's got a mama for a sheep and a daddy for a sheep. Well, let me get off that. That's too hard. Let me move to the next thing. Hey, listen, all I'm saying is you either have Jesus or you have not. That's the bottom line. Now, the next thing I want to point out is this. You either have or have not yielded to biblical discipleship. You either have or have not yielded to biblical discipleship. Take your Bible, go to Luke 14. Go to Luke 14. Now, while you're turning, let me say this. Once a person does get sincerely born again, then Jesus expects them to become a disciple. He expects them to yield to the fellowship of the Word of God. Now, look, if you would, Luke 14. And Jesus speaking here. If, well, it's a big word because he says, you know what, you got a choice at it. That word if, you know what's all, you know what I see in those two little letters, haves and have nots? What I see in this is those that have and those that have not. Listen to what he says. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also. Now you underline this in your Bible. And you put a big old asterisk beside it, and if you have a highlighter, you highlight it. Because God said, if these things aren't practiced, you cannot be my disciple. Now, if you're new to Christianity, you say, oh, preacher, I love my wife. He's not talking about hate them in a vehement way. He's not talking about hate them in a malicious way. He said, you know what? Your relationship to them is secondary to your relationship with Jesus Christ. He said, if any man come to me and hate not father, mother, wife, children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and, oh boy, this is a tough one now, his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Listen, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Skip down to verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not, oh man, this gives most of his chill bumps, all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Now I want you to listen to me. I said you either have or have not Jesus this morning. And some this morning, if you have Jesus, you have not yielded to biblical discipleship. Jesus must become your total focus in life. You hear me? I said Jesus must become your total focus in life. Most of our problem today, it's not that we don't love God, it's just that we're out of focus. It's kind of like these glasses. I'm out of focus this morning, so if I fall off, somebody come pick me up. I got to get used to them, all right? Sometimes I get looking through the wrong part here, and everybody goes, You see, we're out of focus this morning. Remember, it's the few decisions that you make in life that produce the most joy. Remember? It's the very few decisions that we make in life that literally transform our life. And can I say, the Lord wants you to love your family. He just wants you to love Him more. Hey, He wants you to take care of your responsibilities. He just wants you to take care of Jesus' responsibilities more. He wants you to be satisfied and have joy and peace. That's His desire. But you've got to get your focus right. There has to be a yielding to biblical discipleship. You either have or you have not. Look, if you would, in Luke 14, 27. I said Jesus must become your total focus. Next, the service and ministry of Christ must become your desire in life. You must have a desire to serve God. Did you notice he used the phrase, and whosoever doth not bear his cross? Not Jesus' cross. You couldn't bear that one. But you can bear your own. He says if he doesn't bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. You see, with a cross comes conflict. We don't like that, do we? With a cross comes chastisement. We don't like that either, do we? With a cross, though, we like this one, comes our crown, glory to God. That we like that one. We like the crowns, so if we could just get the crown somehow without chastisement and without conflict, we're all on board, all right? We're all for discipleship. If we can just get that crown without any conflict or any chastisement or any confrontations in life, we're all on board. And if I said believers this morning, how many are on board with that? Everybody said, I'm on board as long as I don't have to go through any conflict. Well, can I say to you, it's not possible. That's the reason he said bear his cross. That cross was a symbol of suffering. and it's going to come your way at some time and some point. You see, he said, you can't be my disciple if your focus in life is out. He said, you can't be my disciple if your service and desire is out. But I want you to look at verse 33. He said, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Listen to me. Possessions in life must become a tool to serve Christ with your life. Possessions, the reason he gives us possessions, he gives us them as a tool to serve the Lord with. Hey, our training, our professionalism, whatever we've gone to school for, it needs to be a tool to help people. We just came back from Honduras last week. We probably saw, I'm going to guess, three or four different groups. We were on the plane with two groups of them. We were on the plane with a group of about 20 Christian dentists. You know what they were there for? They were taking their training and profession and went to Honduras and did all of the dental work that they were doing there free. We were on there with a group of people that's called, I can't remember what their name is, but what they do is they go back into these remote villages that have no running water and they help them drill wells so they can have running water. You know what they charge the Honduran people? Nothing. What they're doing is they're using their training as a tool to minister. Jesus said, if you don't forsake all, listen, today here in the United States, somebody's got to pay us for everything. Ask somebody to do something just for the Lord, it's like, how much are you going to pay me? Our training must be a tool. Listen, our material blessings must become a tool. But you know, I wonder how many of God's people came to church this morning and had an entire back seat empty when they could have brought somebody with them. Now, let me get off that one. I said, use our material blessings as a tool. Hey, God gave you a van, or God gave you a car. God gave you that to use as a tool for the ministry of Christ. Well, let me also say, not only does our training need to be used as a tool, our material blessings need to be used as a tool, but I want to say, dear folks, our wealth must become a tool. You know why God blesses and gives us finances so that we can pass it on for the ministry of Jesus Christ? Hey, I tell you, after it's all said and done, and they lay me out here and they bury me, do you know all the money I've got in every bank account is going to stay here? So I might as well put it to use, right? I might as well go ahead and start investing it so that I can lay up treasures where? In heaven. And you know what? If I do that, thieves can't break through and steal. Moths can't get through and eat it up. Why? Because it's eternal. I just said possessions in life must become a tool to serve Christ with our life. We can't become His disciple. Hey, there are some people, child of God, here this morning. You either have or have not yielded to biblical discipleship. Now here's the next thing, and this is the last thing I want you to think about. You either have or have not resigned yourself to the fact that you're going to face God one day. You either have or have not resigned yourself to the fact you will face God one day. James put it this way. He says, your life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. Death is real, and there is no respecter of persons with Him. Can I say so many live today as though they have all the time in the world? Some live today as though they are invincible. Some live today and play with death as though it was some kind of toy. And yet the Scripture says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. You get one shot at life, friend. You have one soul, you get one shot. You say, but that's not what so-and-so teaches. Well, so-and-so is not reading the Bible. You got one soul, you got one life, you got one shot at it. You say, but what if I'm such and such age and I've kind of blown it? Well, you know what you need to do? You just need to go ahead and take a spiritual mulligan on that and start over. Because you can't change anything of the past. So what you're going to have to do is realize you're going to face God one day. And listen, if God gives you 10 years, 15 years, 20 years left, hey, how about giving Him 10, 15, or 20 years and face Him with the best that you could have done with those last few years that you have. I said death is real and is no respecter of persons. I want to say next, Jesus will return very soon. Some don't live as though He's coming. Some don't serve as though He's coming. Some don't witness as though He's coming. Some don't worship as though He's coming. Hey, listen, can you imagine if the Lord came back after church today and you had to face Him with the worship experience you had this morning? He said, what was up with you this morning? You never sang. You didn't sing. You didn't enjoy the special. You slept during the preacher. What's up with you? Can I say we're going to have to give an account before God? Jesus is coming soon. We need to live like it, worship like it, witness like it, serve like it. You either have or have not resigned yourself to the fact that you're going to face God one day. You see, when the Lord comes back, He's coming back as a thief in the night, and I believe without a question, He's going to catch some believers by surprise. Why? Because you haven't resigned yourself to the fact He's coming back, could be today. And that we're going to give an account. Everybody will be held accountable. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Every born-again believer is going to stand before their God one day and give an account for what's done in this body, whether it be good or bad. But can I say, if you're here this morning and you know not Jesus and you have not Jesus, you likewise will stand before your God. Revelation 20 and verse number 11 says that there's a great white throne that will appear, and the sea will give up the dead which are in it, and death and hell will give up the dead which are in it. And the Scripture says every man will be judged there according to their works. Now listen to me. Everyone's going to give account. If you're a child of God this morning, you're going to give an account. And you have either reserved yourself, you either have or have not reserved yourself to the fact that day's coming. That day's coming. Now let me finish this up and say this. For believers, the truth of the haves and the have-nots continues on beyond this life. You know that, don't you? Because one day there's coming what is called the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. And I believe the haves in this life are going to have in that and during the millennial reign of Christ. And those that have not will also have not then as well. And let me say, for those who have not Jesus Christ in your heart today, you also will have one day. You say, oh, I will? I'll have something even if I don't get saved and trust Jesus? What will I have, preacher? Here's what you will have. You will have the rest of eternity to think about your choice of not choosing Jesus. And that's all you will have. Now, I just said this morning, we have haves and have-nots. This morning, you either have Jesus or you have not. This morning, if you're a child of God, you either have yielded to biblical discipleship or you have not. And can I say, everyone here, you're going to have to resign yourself to the fact that one day you're going to face your God. And you're going to have to face Him with who you are. You're either a peach tree or you're a lemon tree. Because by your fruits, they're going to know who you are. It's just haves and haves not this morning. Which one are you? I want you to bow your heads for just a moment. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking around. How many can say, preacher, I'm a born-again believer. I'm in that have category. I have accepted Jesus as my Savior. I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. No question about it, preacher. I know it. I know it. No question about it. I have accepted Jesus as my Savior. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Father, I come to you this morning knowing the importance of an invitation. I remember an invitation 27 years ago, very similar to this one, and I was sitting in a congregation as I have not. I had not Jesus in my heart. I had not at that point trusted and put my faith in Christ. But I made the decision that day to become a have. And there, since that day, I have Jesus because of that one choice. And so I ask you this morning, please, Lord, would you do the same in the hearts of those Maybe there's some children of God here this morning that need to get their life right and to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. And realize, Lord, and resign themselves to the fact that we're going to face our God one day with our life. How are we going to face Him? Right? As a have or as a have not? And then, Father, I ask this morning if there's anyone here that knows not Jesus, that is in that have not category, that they would move into the have category this morning by coming and putting their faith and trust in Christ. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one's looking but me. I wonder if there might be a few people here this morning that couldn't raise your hand just a moment ago, but you'd let me pray for you. And you'd say, "Preacher, I don't know for sure if I died I'd go to heaven today, but I want to. Preacher, I don't want to die without Christ. I know I have not Christ in my heart, but I want to." And you'd let me pray for you. Who would be honest this morning? Say, "Preacher, that's me." I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, "That's me. Pray for me." Nobody's looking but me. Nobody's looking but me. God bless you. You can slip your hand down. You say, "Preacher, I'm a have not. I have not Jesus this morning. No one's ever taken the Scriptures and showed me how to be saved." You say, "Preacher, pray for me. Pray for me." God bless you. There's two. Who joined these two? Say, "Preacher, that's me." Just slip it up. Nobody's looking but me. You can slip your hand down. Once you raise it, you can slip it back down. God bless you. There's three. Who will join these three? Say, "Preacher, that's me. That's me. That's me. That's me." Who else? Who else? Who else? All right, maybe you're here this morning. You say, "Preacher, I'm already saved. I'm already a Christian, but I've never been baptized after I got saved. I know it's the right thing to do. Pray for me, preacher. That's the next step I need to take." You say, "That's who I am. Pray for me." Slip your hand way up high. Say, "That's me. I've already been saved. Never been baptized after I got saved." God bless you. You can put your hand down. Anybody else? God bless you. You can slip your hand down. Who will join these two? Say, "Preacher, that's me. That's me. I'm saved, but never been baptized after I got saved." God bless you. You can slip your hand down. There's three. Who will join these three? Just slip it up. Slip it up. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. God bless you and you. There's two more. Who will join these? Who will join these five now? Who else? Who else? Just slip it up. Slip it up and I'll pray for you. Anybody else? All right. God bless you. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, how many are here this morning and say, "Preacher, I'm a child of God. I'm saved, been baptized, and maybe you've been saved a long period of time." And say, "Preacher, I have not been a disciple of Jesus. I have not resigned myself to the fact that I know He's coming back and I realize, Lord, my life is not what it needs to be." And you say, "Preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. I need to reach that place in my life. Please pray for me." I want you to slip your hand way up high. Say, "That's me. That's me." Just slip it up, slip it up, slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. God bless you. God bless you. All over. All over. You can put your hands down. The Father, I ask you this morning in the wonderful, the precious name of Jesus to have your will and way in this invitation time. Would you stir hearts this morning, those who need to come to Christ? I pray that they would come. Help them, Lord, this morning not to be afraid and not to be ashamed, but to step out for the glory of God. And then, Father, I pray for those that need to get baptized and they raise their hand, and I'm praying for them right now that, Lord, today would be that day that you convict their heart to come and obey you and take care of that bit of business for Christ. I pray for those that raised their hand and said they were a child of God. They were a believer, but they, Lord, their life is just not in line with discipleship. They have not resigned themselves to the fact. They have not surrendered to that life of discipleship, to be a follower, to be a forsaker of the world, and to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I pray that today would be the day for them that they'd make that transition. And Father, have your way in this invitation. Bless it. Use it in a great way. Stir our hearts in Jesus' name. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand with me? I'm going to ask the instrument to begin to play. I'm going to ask Brother Garner to begin to sing. If you slipped your hand up, this is your opportunity. You come. You say, "Preacher, I need to be saved." This is your opportunity to come. Don't hesitate. If you're a have not and you have not Jesus this morning, would you come? You can leave this place this morning knowing Christ is your Savior. Would you come? Would you come? Come on. Come on. This is your opportunity. If you raise your hand, you say, "Preacher, I'm a Christian. I'm saved, but never been baptized." Would you step out this morning and come? Come on. Come on. Come on. Maybe you're a child of God. Maybe you are a Christian. Say, "Preacher, I haven't surrendered to that life of discipleship." Then you come. You come. You come. Keep singing. We're going to continue to sing it through.